want to say to Sister Leola, thank you for your kindness. She brought me some food the other night and was worried about it. After she left, I tried it to see if there's anything she really needed to worry about, and I couldn't tell. There's one thing in there to worry about. It's very good, and I want to thank you for it before I get busy rocking and eating chicken, sitting around, and forget. Turn with me to an old familiar verse of scripture. How many is going to help me preach tonight? You were a tussle this morning, so ease up on an old man, will you? Ease up a little bit. Find any of those old stray amens that you've been reserving to say, say them tonight. And help me out if you can. Isaiah chapter 9. You have it, Isaiah chapter 9. That's where an amen goes. Right there. If you got Isaiah chapter 9, say amen. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The wonderful name he bears. That's the title. You may not remember it, but I hope I say something that you will. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And each one of those is a sermon in itself. And I'm going to try to cram all of this into one sermon. The Spirit of God, who is also the Spirit of revelation, kindles in minds of men thoughts that never die. Some thoughts are so great that he writes it in the book so that we can reread it and reread it and reread it. And it done so in the mind of the prophet Isaiah. He gave him a glowing vision of someone who was coming, who the world will now refer to as the Messiah. It is more than half a millennium before the angels sang over Bethlehem. This enlightened prophet in Judah wrote the vivid description of Christ, the Lord. And he said, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And it stands to this day, to this very day, 2010, it stands to this very day as eloquent in summing up the life of Jesus Christ as any pen or any preacher or any scholar has ever been able to gather words to describe him. And that was before his birth. He should carry that relationship to God and man, and he should bear this wonderful name. The wonderful name that he bears. It speaks of the best of all of a wonderful Christ. This writer said the best of all of a wonderful Christ is his wonderful eyes to see us, his wonderful ears to hear us, his wonderful heart to love us, his wonderful hands to hold us, his wonderful words to cheer us, his wonderful spirit to guide us, and a wonderful home to take us to. That's the wonder of Christ. It's inexhaustible when you think of the wonder of Christ. These titles of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, which Isaiah rang out like the chimes of a bell pealing across the centuries, Wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, still ring today. They ring across. It's untelling just how many preachers have taken this for a text this year. It would be untelling how many preachers have taken it for a text this month. And it will sure be taken in text when comes Christmas time. And yet it grows not old. Its glory does not fade. Its majesty is still as all full as it ever was. When men see it, they want to bow. They want to say, oh, what a Savior. What a friend. Well, as we listen to the bells peal across the times, the first bell rings, His name shall be called Wonderful. When we look at the word wonderful, we are oftentimes, we have to go back and borrow somebody else's mind. Scholars, we call them. We do that because of the training that they've had. We call them scholars. Well, one of the scholars, this Dr. Barnes, he called our attention to the fact that the Hebrew term means to separate, to distinguish, or to make great. The word wonderful is to mean then that it is to separate Christ from every other. That the word wonderful means to distinguish Him from every other. And the word wonderful means to make Him great. And that should be the work of every one of us. For Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. That is where we come. As we let this soak into our heart and we begin to let our brain begin to work on this. The prophet chose these words by the moving power of the Holy Ghost. The same Holy Ghost that's here tonight moved on Isaiah. Gave him the thought, made him see it, made him feel it, made him take a pen and write it. It wonders me so to no end that we consider so full of the Holy Ghost and not be awestruck by these words like Isaiah. It seems like the same Holy Ghost that could write this 700 years before the birth of Christ and keep it alive for 2,000 years surely ought to be able to work in our heart. That we are to say to the name Wonderful, that's exactly what He is. Wonderful. Beyond description. It separates Him from all others. It distinguishes Him from all others. It makes Him greater than all others. And that's the greatness of Christ. Does not consist of a little plus or a much plus. It's not that He is one of those that we might credit Him of being a little bit better or a whole lot better than somebody else. It is not so much as we were to say He's a little wiser than Socrates. He is wisdom. Amen. A little more meek than Moses, a little more courageous than Daniel, a little more holy than somebody does not say it. For He is the sum and substance of all the things that they are. Amen. He is not a little bit better than somebody else. He is by Himself in every category. That's what makes Him wonderful. When you talk of love, we never known love until Jesus showed it to us. We love Him because He first loved us. When it comes to peace, we didn't know it till He gave it to us. When it comes to an unselfish spirit, we would always have more greed than we did charity. But then He came and turned it around, and now we despise greed and we want to be charitable. All because He's so wonderful that He's a life-changing God. He doesn't leave you like He finds you. He didn't come and just erase your sins and leave you that way. He come and made you a new creature. Oh, say, but I'm glad. Amen. Hallelujah. Such a comparison. They may have their values, but they also have a certain deficit in them because it is almost a peril to say Jesus is a little better than anyone or Jesus is a whole lot better than anyone because anyone can't stand where he stands. He is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He brought light into this world. He brought life into this world. He came to give his life a ransom for many. He done so much for us that our heart ought to leap and we ought to say, he's wonderful. He is the only Savior. Amen. He is the only Savior. There's not another. There's not another that can save you. This book says that there's only one name given among men whereby they must repent and be saved. You know that name? If you know that name, tell me that name.
Jesus,
that's the one I'm talking about. He's a wonderful Savior because he separates from everybody else. Nobody can save you like Jesus. Amen. Certainly, the peril of it is that if we start comparing him with men, then we have a tendency to move him down and not up. Amen. No wonder. Amen. No wonder is what we get when we debase him. That's why they can take him out of school. Amen. I think it was Sister Tussie who sent her husband to ask me if I had a certain holy book, and I told him I didn't. Not in all of my gittins did I ever get one of them because I don't need it. It's a worthless book to me. Because her professor or teacher kept telling her that Islam is the only way. Muhammad is the only prophet. And I say, baloney. And I do that without a text. It's a bunch of baloney. You know what makes it a bunch of baloney? Muhammad's dead. Dead as dead can be. He ain't going to get up until who wakes him up? Jesus. Muhammad, you're going to stay right where you're at, bud, till Jesus wants to talk to you. And when Jesus wants to talk to you, you're going to get up whether you want to or not. That makes him wonderful. You see, you can't compare him with somebody else. Confucius is dead. They're all dead. He's the only one that's living. He's alive. How many knows he's alive? How do you know he's alive? That's because he's so wonderful. You don't want him to die. He couldn't die if he wanted to. He's alive forevermore. There we have this verse in the New Testament says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. And when you get away from that, God manifested in the flesh. He wasn't just assuming man. He wasn't just assuming a man aspiring to godhood. He's not like a Mormon who's aspiring to godhood. He was God. You know what his aspiration was? To become man. That's amazing. That's wonderful. That separated him. Gabriel can't do that. Michael can't do that. God didn't allow the Holy Ghost to do that. But he did the Son. And the Son aspired to become one of us that he might show us the Father. Somebody shout amen. Amen. He shows us the Father. He opens heaven. No longer do we talk about something in the sky. We call it home. What is so wonderful about calling it home? You would never call it home if you hadn't have met Jesus. Amen. So we see this great mystery of godliness, and it's all about Jesus. God was manifested in the flesh, and that God that was manifested in the flesh, his name is Jesus. And when you get away from that, you know what you'll do with Christmas? And this is not a Christmas message, but I'm going to tell you ahead of time. Thanksgiving's next, but you already started on Christmas. The stores have started on Christmas. They've already got their Christmas trees up. Come on now. Wake up. Wake up. What's it doing? If you don't see great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifest in the flesh, you'll go down with old Santa Claus. You'll jump in the reindeer sled and you'll ride behind Rudolph and you'll say, whoopee, it's Christmas time. But if you really see the mystery of godliness, you will say, oh dear God, thank you for coming in the flesh to save my wretched soul. It's not about a Christmas tree. It's about a God who wanted to be among us so bad that he came to live among us and suffer among us and heal our sick and feed our hungry and give hope to the hopeless and sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf and leaping to the lame. He came among us and died for us and said to God the Father, it is finished. And it is. Thank God it is. He's so wonderful you can't improve on it. I said he's so wonderful you can't improve on anything he done. Some folks are so ignorant they said he borrowed part of his teaching. Who did he borrow it from? Who was alive in the ageless of countless eternity? Who was there? Who wrote the book? Who had got the lesson? Who had got the question? He didn't borrow nothing. He was the original. If man had a thought, it's because he put it in there. If man saw a vision, it's because he gave it. He's wonderful. Simply because he is all time feeling. Amen. So you see, the person of Christ is a central wonder of the Christian gospel. Wonderful. It's not exaggerating to say he's wonderful. I don't know. I might faint if my wife was to call me wonderful. I would not know what to do with it. But you might call me wonderful and I'd get a little red face because I know I'm not. You can feed a man's ego with that word. But when you walk away from that word, you're still the same guy. And no one knows like you do. He said, which of you convinceth me of sin? I wouldn't want to say that. Because I could go back and folks back over home before I got saved could say, I know when you did it. But they could search Jesus from the very Alpha to the very Omega, and they could never find one thing in him that was called sin. He never lied. He never misrepresented the truth. He never misrepresented anything that he'd done. He was absolutely, completely the truth. He is the truth. He is the truth. That's what makes him so wonderful. He's not a half truth. He is the truth. He's not a part light, part dark. He is the light. And in him is no darkness at all. That's so wonderful. To meet somebody who is genuine is wonderful. He's a genuine Savior. He was wonderful in his birth. It was miraculous. He entered time through a virgin. That's mysterious. That's the great mystery of godliness. He didn't come like everybody else. He came through a virgin who had never known a man. Wow. You know, there are scholars today that just simply do not believe that. They'll tell you. They do not believe in a virgin birth. They do not believe in it. They will tell you. You may have got some of their books. They'll tell you, I don't believe it. I don't believe in a virgin birth. Then they really don't believe Jesus is a Savior. To be a Savior, he had to come through a virgin. He couldn't borrow his blood from Joseph. I was listening to a preacher preach one night, and he was talking about naming Jesus Savior, for he shall save his people from their sins. And this man said, now, Gabriel, come here. Come here, Gabriel. I got a mission for you. And he said, I want you to get down there before Joseph and Mary mess things up. He said, I want you to get down there, and I want you to tell him, don't name him Joseph Jr. Don't name him Moses or Isaiah or Jeremiah. He said, his name shall be Jesus. Yes. Amen. For he shall save his people from their sins. And that's heaven's name for our Savior. Hallelujah. That name is a powerful name. That name is a wonderful name. That name is a glorious name. That name is a healing name. That name is a saving name. That name is a comforting name. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will comfort you. That name. There's wonder in that name. And you can't exaggerate it. It is a powerful name. I've seen people loose from demons by that name. I've seen people loose from drugs with that name. I've seen people straighten their life up and never will be able to go back on God simply because God gave them such a wonderful conversion. Amen. He was wonderful in his birth. He was wonderful in his life. F.W. Robinson is a great preacher, but he said this and not me. He said he was perfectly what every saint is partially. In the roll of ages, there has been but one man whom we can adore without idolatry, the man Christ Jesus. I wish I'd have said that. So some preacher could have quoted me. It's not my quote, that is him. He is what we are partially. He is perfectly sainted, perfectly sanctified, perfectly a gentleman, perfectly a savior. Amen. He is perfect. Oh, that's all in itself. That's wonderful in itself. Which of you can convince me of sin? And Pilate stood up and said, I find no fault in him. Judas said, I have betrayed innocent blood. He was innocent. You see, it took a God to perform the costly deed. Only God could do for man what needed to be done. Only God could die for man. And this is what the Bible says. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Isn't that wonderful? To know there's a blood that has not lost its power. There is a blood that can still cleanse from every stain of sin. If you've fallen today, my brother, we have an advocate, a wonderful Savior who can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. A wonderful Savior who has eyes of compassion. A wonderful Savior who has nail-scarred hands. A wonderful Savior whose heart is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And he sits at the right hand of God. And if you've sinned today, my brother, confess that sin. And he is faithful and just to forgive you. And the blood of Jesus Christ in 2010 can wash you whiter than snow. Ah! Hallelujah. Oh, it would be terrible. It would be horrible to go through life thinking I couldn't get rid of it. After I've been one time cleansed, to think that I would get soiled and couldn't get clean. Oh, thank God for the prevailing blood of a wonderful Christ who can still wash you whiter than snow. He was wonderful in his resurrection. He got up from among the dead. He got up from among the dead. You know what that is? Virtually impossible. Virtually impossible, but God did it. For with God, nothing is impossible. Amen. The Holy Ghost quickened him, stood him up. The angel had to roll the stone away, but he wasn't in there. He didn't have to roll the stone away to let him out. He's already out. He rolled the stone away to let you in. So you could see the napkin folded and the clothes laying by itself. So you'd know he's not here. He set an angel on the head and an angel on the foot. Amen. An angel on the rock. And they all had the same message. I know who you're seeking. He's not here. He's arisen. It should be the name of Jesus that brings the church to its feet. For we don't serve a dead Savior. We serve a living Savior. Up from the grave he arose, triumphant over every foe. Glory be to God in the highest. Hallelujah. I am he that was dead, and I am alive, and life forevermore was not spoken by somebody other than Jesus Christ, the wonderful. He's wonderful in his intercession. The Bible says in Hebrews 7, but this man, talking of Jesus, because he continueth ever hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. That's a challenge. Bring it on. That's what Jesus said. Bring it on. Just bring it on. See what I can do with it. Bring it to me. See what I can do with it. He's able to save to the uttermost. You know what that uttermost is? You ain't been there yet. Even though you thought you was a bad man, you've not been there yet where his hand can't find you. Because you never fall so far that God can't reach you. He continueth an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Napoleon, I'm going to quote Napoleon. And he said, is it not amazing that whereas the ambitious dreams of Caesar and Alexander and myself have vanished into thin air, a mere Judean peasant should be able to stretch a dead hand across the centuries and control the destinies of nations and the children of men. That's quite a compliment, Napoleon, but you're wrong on one point. It's not a dead hand. Oh, he lives. You can feel the hand of the Lord on you. If Napoleon could have done that, if he could have just have felt it, he would have gave up trying to conquer. He would have been happy to be conquered. I'm happy to be a bond servant because I felt the hand of the Lord upon me. A living hand, a transforming hand, a helping hand. Oh, glory be to the name of Jesus. Now, this one great preacher of the past, he said, they may kill me if they please, but they will never tear the living Christ from my heart. Woo! They may kill me if they please, but they'll never tear the living Christ from my heart. He lives, thank God he lives, and he can put you through anything. He can take you through the worst of it. He can help you get through the worst of things because he's a living Christ. I must hurry. Listen to the second bell of this ageless carillon. He shall be called Counselor. Wow. Scholars are divided to whether it should be wonderful and Counselor should be joined together as though it's one. I like the Authorized Version, who puts the old comma in the right place and separates it. I believe and have chosen to separate it and let it stand by itself. He is a counselor. How many ever needed a counselor? It's a strong and noble Hebrew word. It just simply, it's expressing the extraordinary wisdom. That's what it means, extraordinary wisdom. He's smarter than most of us. How about he's smarter than all of us? How about he's smarter than all of us put together? That makes him a counselor. When you find somebody that's smarter than everybody, he's either a smart aleck or he is wise. And since Jesus is not a smart aleck, he is wise enough to handle your problems. He's a counselor. They gave this name to men who advised princes and kings. Amen. You're so wise you may know how to square a circle, but you know how to square your account with God? Jesus does. You may know how to make a living, but you know how to make a life? Jesus does. You may know how to erect a house, but do you know how to build a home? Jesus does. You may know how to set a broken bone, but do you know how to mend a broken heart? Jesus does. Can anybody help me preach? It's this higher wisdom. It's a wisdom about life. It's a wisdom that comes down right where you're at. It's a wisdom that steps into your problem. A wisdom that comes down in the trench. A wisdom that walks through the same dirt you walk through. And at the end of the day, when your mind is so mucked up that you can't hardly think, you know what happens? Jesus gives you a word. Just a word. We listened to a young lady last night. She'd not been saved very long. She said, I've asked brother. He asked my pastor. He said, I asked my Sunday school teacher. She said, I just couldn't find it. And she said, I'm just reading the Bible. And she said, I read it. But she said, last night I read it and I got my answer. That's the way Jesus is. After you've exhausted yourself trying to find an answer, you just come to him and he's got counsel for you. I am the answer to life's problems. Hallelujah. Amen. He's the answer before you ever get the question. Oh, it should help me preach. Then let me hurry. Listen to the third bell sound in the music of the ages. His name shall be called the Mighty God. That's expressly what they did call him. You know, at length, men come to knowledge, and that's what they did. It took him dying. When he died, they gave him the name, the title Lord, which means in Hebrew, it's equivalent to the word God. And this is what Peter said. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. And gave him a name that's above every name. Oh, if somebody shout amen.
Amen.
God made him. God made him. Both Lord and Christ. Sit thou on thy throne till I make thine enemies thy footstool, O God. I remember a lady used to go to this church and be a member of this church. She one day, she had been visiting a whole lot somewhere else, and she came with some real knowledge. And she walked up to her pastor and she said, I would like to inform you that you've been preaching some things that's not right. And I said, really? What's that? And she said, you've been preaching Jesus as God. I said, I have. And I will. And I'm not going to stop. Surprise! He is God. She said, oh no, the Bible doesn't say that. I said, the Bible doesn't say it. What Bible are you reading? I said, let me get the Bible. And I got the Bible. I pointed this scripture out and I pointed that scripture out. But she said, only thing I know is he's the Son of God. I said, yeah, he is. But I said, let's take a look at just what you said. He's the Son of God. If God begot him, what does that make him? My dad begat me and I become human. God begat him and he became God. God in the flesh. He was God before he was ever born of the virgin. He was God after he was born of the virgin. He's God tonight. God always. God cannot ever change. Oh, I'm about to get anointed. It has surprised me that people can sit in a congregation for years and never get the point. Never see the light. Never come to the truth. They sit there, shaking their head. Can't see it. Turn the light on. Amen. It's too dark up there for you. Turn the light on. And you let Jesus in. He'll find a way up there and turn the light on for you. Amen. Thomas said, I won't believe that he's God. I won't believe he's even up out of the grave till I put my finger in his hand and my hand in his side. Jesus came and said, all right, I'm ready for you to get whatever it takes, Thomas. I want you to be a believer, Thomas. And if that's what it takes, Thomas, he said, I want you to have whatever you need to be a believer, Thomas. And here I am. Here's my hand. Dig in there and find out what you can find out, Thomas. Here's my side. Put your hand in there, Thomas. Amen. Be not faithless, Thomas, but believe. That's one kind of evidence that some people need. They got to feel everything. And what they don't see, they don't believe. But Jesus said, blessed are they, Thomas, that have not seen and yet believe. I wasn't there when he died, but I believe it. I wasn't there when they buried him, but I believe it. I wasn't there when he got up, but I believe it.
I wasn't there when he went up. I believe it. And I believe he's coming again.
That's a bunch of things I haven't seen. But I still believe. Amen. His name shall be called the Mighty God. The dark center of human ills is not suffering of ignorance, it's sin. The paramount need of us is to come for the cleansing. We don't need a paint job. We don't need a patching job. We need a reconstruction. We need to be tore down and put back together. Christ is the mighty God. Amen. He can answer prayer, this mighty God. He can. As a Christian nurse, that she was set beside of a young lady who was dying. She had been stabbed in a drunken fight, and she was very disreputable, and that little nurse was standing by her and just waiting for her to die. And this girl opened her eyes and she said, "I want you to tell me something, and tell me straight," she said. "Do you think God cares about people like me? Do you think he could forgive anyone as bad as I am?" And the nurse told, as she related it, she said, she bowed her head in prayer. She prayed. And then in a little while, she said, "I'm telling you straight. God cares about you and he forgives you." The girl on the bed gave a little sigh, dropped away into unconsciousness. But the lines on her face began to change. And her nurse noticed that all of the wrinkles were going out and become relaxed and become peaceful. And the nurse was sure that the Almighty God had answered a prayer and again lifted someone from the jaws of death into the hand of life. He can get there when nobody else can. Amen. Well, we once more go and listen to one of those pealing bells. It's sort of softer and it's more beautiful. His name is called the Everlasting Father. The Everlasting Father. It was Philip who said, "Lord, show us the Father and it shall suffice." Jesus knew, and you and I know it too, that sometimes we just can't get there. That non-existent, unreal stuff, we can't hardly grasp it. God is a spirit. Jesus said to Philip, just a little bit of a rebuke, he said, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father." Jesus is that evidence that there is a heavenly Father in heaven that cares as much as Jesus did when he was on the earth. Now stop and think about it for a moment. Blind man sitting at the side of the road. Jesus comes by. He hollers out, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." But not only did Jesus stop, but God stopped. And that man who was screaming over there because he was blind and didn't want to be left by the side of life's road, God said to his son, because if you read the Bible, he said, "I do nothing without my Father. The words that I speak are not mine, but the Father's." There was God. There was the Heavenly Father saying, "Son, tell him to come. Come." He could drop his old rags and come to Jesus, and Jesus could touch his eyes and give him sight. And the Father was applauding on the throne. That's what I would do if I was there. When the woman was taken in the very act of adultery, and Jesus handled it so good that he could say to her only one thing, "Go thy way and sin no more." God applauded from the throne and said, "That's what I'd do if I was there." Hallelujah. When he fed the hungry, that's what God said. I would do the same thing if I was there. Oh, you're not hearing me preach. What you see Jesus do is what God will do. What you hear Jesus say about heaven is what God says to you about heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. Who gave him permission to even tell us? He draws back the curtain of eternity and says, look now, I'm going to show you something you'll not find in a textbook. I'm going to show you something you'll not find in the Koran or the Torah. I'm going to show you something you won't find in the teaching of Confucius. I'm going to show you something that you will not understand until you get it in your head that the Heavenly Father has already planned it out for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go away to prepare you a place. And if I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. God said, son, bring as many as you can. Tell him it's for whosoever will. Tell him it won't be on race, and it won't be on color. It won't be on wisdom. It won't be on stupidity. It's to whosoever will. Let him come. Amen. Ulysses, that legend of Ulysses, it says that returning from the wars, he unbuckled his heavy and concealing armor in order that his children might recognize him. So God laid aside the darkness that he hid in and shined in the face of Jesus Christ. The glory that you see in the face of Jesus is God shining out, saying, I love the world so that I gave you my son. Oh, he should help me preach. I'm almost done. Amen. This is where we're at. You'll never need another substitute. He done it all for you. Then final, the ageless carry on of the bell that sounds sweetest of all. His name shall be called the Prince of Peace. 2,000 years the world has strived for peace and yet not had it. You say that only proves that Jesus has failed. Not so. Not so. It's what we have done that's messed this world up. And when he comes, we'll have peace for 1,000 years. And then there'll be a little interruption. Then we'll have peace for all eternity. Yeah. Amen. Do you see, it started back in the society and what English did a long time with the word Bethlehem. You know what Bethlehem, right? You know about Bethlehem? How many knows about Bethlehem? Did you know where the word bedlam, that means noisy and violent confusion, do you know its origin? It came from Bethlehem. That 300 or 200 years ago, there was in England called the St. Mary's of Bethlehem. It's a hospital. It continued about 200 years. And then they turned it into an asylum for the insane. And soon the place became notorious for all of that hideous noise and endless confusion. The original name, through the tendency towards contraction that is so marked among the British, finally came to be spelled Bedlam. And that is what man has done with the world since Jesus Christ came to redeem it, hath made it bedlam. But you see, whenever we have and still are humbling our heart, repentant, broken, and trustful, and you let the Savior come, and you know what he does? He'll take bedlam and turn it back into Bethlehem. He can restore it back to the original. You gonna help me preach? I'm almost done. Bedlam. Consider him. Hebrews 12, 2 and 3. Consider him. Bread of the hungry, wine of the faint, balm of the wounded, robe of the saint, light of the darkness, eyes to the blind, stiller of tempest, soother of mind. Joy of the exile, letter from home, song of the pilgrim, love of the lone, hope of the captive, breakers of chains, prison doors opening again and again, light of the temple, incense most rare, ever ascending, essence of prayer, hope of all ages, incarnate word, how I adore thee, Jesus, my Lord. Consider him. Consider him. I'll never forget the telephone call I got from another state. And a couple asked me if I would please talk to them. My wife knows that this is true, and I'll not name names or even tell you the state. They flew up here together. They had a problem, a marital problem. They wanted me to talk to them. They flew in, they came, we talked. We went through the whole situation, we went through the whole thing. And they walked out of that room together. I looked at him and I said, "Do you love her?" He said, "I have never quit loving her." I said, "Do you love him?" She said, "I love him and I'm sorry for what I've done to him." I said, "Can you forgive her?" He said, "I love her." I said, "Can you live for him?" She said, "I want to." And Jesus put the pieces together. Today, they are together. I talked to them not too long ago, and I said, "Still in love?" He said, "Oh, yeah." Jesus can put it in there to where it can even overcome sin. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Life and light all to all he bring. Risen with healing in his wings. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Counselor. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's Jesus. Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
His name is wonderful and fair and marvelous as well. His name is secret. God he is. Who can his glory tell? The glory of his worth is seen, the glory of his death, the glory of his saving grace, the spirit living breath. His name is Counselor and Guide. The word directs our way. His counsels of his loving voice that leads us all the day. He guides us when the path is dark and holds us by the hand. Within the wilderness he keeps and brings us to the promised land. His name is Mighty God, the Lord Almighty is found in him. All might is found in him. No power can stand before his might. No cause he cannot win. His mighty love will kill all ill. His power will keep from self. His mighty grace with grace and life. And light give eternal wealth. Everlasting Father too is Christ the Lord divine. He is, he was, he is, and is to be himself the living shrine. He cares for all and cares for each. He knows our every need. And so we trust our wants to him, for he will surely feed. The Prince of Peace is named so true. With him all wars must cease. His blood on the cross of sacrifice, the price he paid for peace. The peace of God, oh, how great a boon. The peace of God, how real. The peace of God is with his own who have the Spirit's seal. He is wonderful. He is Counselor. Help me preach. He is. Best of all, he is. Right here by my side. This side, this side, this side, and up here and down here. In him I live, I move, and I have a my being. I can't get away from him because I don't want to, but if every time I turn, I bump into him. He's right there. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
You say it's sort of a confined life, yeah, but I'm happy to be his prisoner. I've never been treated better in all my life. He's bread for my hunger and water for my thirst and joy for my aching heart and the balm of Gilead. He has healed my broken heart. He has saved me from disappointments that I could not bear. He has never left me nor failed me. He has never left me or failed me. So why should I ever try to find a replacement? Praise God. Let's stand. Sister Sutherland. Yeah.